Welcome to My Heart Songs podcast number 87, Coronavirus Clamor, part 3. World Health Organization crowns coronavirus with pandemic status. Worldwide cases top 156,000. State of emergency screams the headline in our local paper. Every state now reporting cases except West Virginia. Our favorite market out of paper goods, eggs, rice, pasta, chicken, and so on. Even Home Depot disinfecting lumber cart handles. Events getting canceled or postponed everywhere, including the NBA March Madness and the Boston Marathon. CDC's worst case scenario predicts 200,000 to 1.7 million people could die in the U.S. if contagion is not slowed. More and more states have closed all schools. Now for a somewhat different perspective. The German government acknowledged that 70% of the population will probably be infected. Countries now in summer continue to have low or no infections. China is now reporting less than 10 new infections each day. Please understand that only testing people who are already extremely sick is an imperfect public health strategy. South Korea is the only country that has implemented a rigorous surveillance program and has found a much higher percentage of total cases, that denominator I have been talking about these last weeks, clearly showing the mortality rate is well below 0.5% and will probably approach that of influenza, which holds pretty steady at 0.1%. This only confirms that people most likely can spread this virus without feeling bad enough to stay home from work. So far this season, the flu has killed 16,000 people right here in the United States. Coronavirus testing in the U.S. has been extremely limited, among the lowest per capita rates in the developed world, and large gatherings are only now being shut down. We're somewhat behind the curve in implementing social distancing strategies. In the 1918 pandemic, cities that enacted non-pharmaceutical interventions, or NPIs as they were called then, early, were able to reduce transmission by up to 50%, compared with cities that introduced such measures later in their local epidemics. NPIs is the term for an array of social distancing measures such as school closures and business snow days that planners believe mitigate the impact of pandemics. Few cities maintain distancing measures more than 6 weeks. We'll see what unfolds here. The whole point of such behavioral responses, including quarantine, and this is critical to understand, is not so much to protect the individual and prevent us all from getting sick, but rather to insulate the healthcare system from being overwhelmed by a tsunami of too many serious cases at once. Slowing the spread of the virus can be accomplished by sticking close to home and avoiding large groups of people. What is rampant right now is the fear of dying from an infection that eventually will most likely not be much more lethal than the flu we all try to avoid and live with each year. News and social media feed upon our anxiety and lead to a risk-distorted lens through which we view this novel illness. The latest data shows, as I've suspected all along, that the mortality rate keeps dropping as more mild and asymptomatic cases are identified. Dangerous for sure, as is the flu, for elderly with chronic heart and lung issues, but much less so for the general population. There's probably some genetic roulette in there as well, with certain genetic types more likely to have a severe immune lung reaction and thus higher mortality. The good news often gets buried in the avalanche of the terrible. The antiviral drug remdesivir has begun human clinical trials in the U.S. The drug seems to work in monkeys and has had some positive results so far in human trials in Wuhan. Camelstat mesylate is another drug active against other coronaviruses, including this one. It seems to act by inhibiting infection of important target cells, human lung epithelial cells, preventing the virus from securing entry. Clinical trials will soon begin to see if it is really effective against COVID-19. Lopinavir, ritonavir, is an anti-HIV drug, that is also being used in clinical trials to see if it's effective against COVID-19. Vaccine development is a risky gamble for big pharma focused mainly on the bottom line. The basic science and clinical trials are expensive, along with the uncertainty of effectiveness and acceptance by the general population. Tricky to get the balance right between positively stimulating the human immune system without the vaccine itself making one sick. The Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness, funded by various governments and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, was launched in Norway in 2017 to help finance and coordinate the development of new vaccines. By investing in small biotech startups, a COVID-19 vaccine will be ready for early phases of safety testing in April, with late summer testing to see if the vaccine actually works to prevent disease. Containment measures, banning travel, and closing down cities only go so far and cannot be sustained without severe economic consequences and are unrealistic for outbreaks that last a long time or become seasonal. Many, many scientists are working on not only having antiviral medicines in the toolbox, but towards a vaccine available by early 2021. In spite of so much fear and anxiety, there clearly are those moments of humor and wonder at the nature of human beings. Online at the grocery store this week, I saw a woman buying 15 bars of her favorite chocolate, her idea of coronavirus preparedness. At a dinner party, one friend commented, "Well, I have to die of something, and I'm not going to just stop living until then." Wuhan City Tours, just arrived from Wuhan, and "I survived coronavirus, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt," have started to appear. We all clearly have the responsibility to keep hand washing, avoid touching hands to face, practice some social distancing, especially if we're in a high-risk group, and stay informed about the primary symptoms, fever, cough, and shortness of breath. Visit relatives in nursing homes only via FaceTime or Skype if you're just back from traveling or have any suspicious symptoms. New Mexico has a dedicated hotline for advice about the disease and testing. 855-600-3453. Again, that New Mexico dedicated hotline is 855-600-3453. This is a time with many ramifications spilling out and unraveling, a time for us all to not hoard but share and weave our connections in safe ways. Reach out to those who may be afraid, alone, or lonely. Thanks again for listening, and remember, friends and family can easily sign up at myheartsongs.org.